final hour here on the DDC. Our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are, I believe, about to speak with Elliot Friedman. Final hour, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Let's bring in Elliot. He is with us. Sportsnet, 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, we played the Predators press conference live here on our show. Went about 45 minutes. A lot to unpack. We were just talking. I'll just hit on what we were just talking about. Darren and Willie here with you. Chase is not on the show today, but he did ask this question late in the presser about Barry Trotz, which did have David Poile laugh. And as I said, it may have been an uncomfortable laugh. And he answered it how he thought about maybe joining the Predators in a front office role. And he said, you know, and all the stuff he's hearing is Barry is going to get is getting courted by a lot of organizations to be their next head coach. What are you hearing on the Barry Trotz front?
Well, I don't think David's wrong. I do think he's getting courted in a lot of places. It's been reported he's going to meet with Philly tomorrow, and they are very interested, very interested. I think he's at the top of their list. I think Winnipeg is very interested, and I think some other teams potentially, Vegas, Detroit, and possibly even someone like Chicago might be interested too, at least in talking to him. So I think when Poile says that Trotz is getting courted, you know, it's very rare that in life you have leverage. And this is a situation where Barry Trotz certainly has a lot of leverage. He'll be able to kind of decide what he wants to do. He's going to have more than one choice. Now, that said, you know, I haven't spoken to Trotz directly, but as you can imagine, I've tried to speak to as many people as I can who might have an idea of what he's thinking. And there is definitely a thought that he might want to go into management, that maybe it's possibly time for him to take a step back from coaching and go into management. And I don't know if that's what will happen, but I do think that he has thought about that. I do think that one thing that's going to come up in conversation with a lot of these teams is, you know, can there be a situation where I coach for X number of years? And, you know, if you look at the Islanders, the guy who's replacing him was one of Barry's longtime lieutenants, who you guys know well, Lane Lambert.
Sure.
And I think if a team wanted, he would propose something like that. Is there someone you want me to work with? I coach for X number of years. And then potentially that person takes over and I transition into a management role. But, you know, with 1 year left on his contract at a good salary, $4 million, he has time to breathe. And I think that one of the things he has considered is it time to step back a bit from coaching and go into a managerial role? And I do think if that's what he decides to do, the Predators would be interested. Now, I think one of the things the Predators are careful with is the idea that Trotz would be looking over the shoulder of John Hines. I don't believe that's the case. I think John Hines, as you saw today, was extended. I think they believe in him as their coach, and I think they would want to message it that if Barry Trotz comes in as the into the Predators front office, it's not to oversee John Hines or potentially be a successor. I don't think they want that drama. So if Barry Trotz is coming into the Predators organization in a front office role, and like I said, I think if that's what he wants to do, there will be an opportunity for him, then I think that there will be that potential to do it. However, some of these offers you might get to coach, those might be tough offers to say no to.
Elliot, Willie knows this, and he'll chuckle because we were, you know, we used to have Barry on all, you know, Barry was maybe the most accessible coach ever, right? That's why everybody loves Barry, and that's not typical with a lot of or most coaches. But Lane Lambert, this is what always stood out to me is – you know, so we never had any trouble having Barry on. Barry would come on the show even if we didn't ask him. He would just literally walk up to the show if we were at the arena or somewhere else and just sit down with us and jump on the show. But Lane Lambert used to always tell us, hey, guys, if you ever want me on, just tell me. I'll come on anytime. Like, he really wanted to come on the show all the time. He loved talking hockey, and that's, again, things that you don't always get from coaches, right? I mean, it was like the best of both worlds when they were here in Nashville. You had the head coach that loved to talk, didn't mind doing interviews, and his assistant that would say to us all the time, hey, you ever need me, I'll come right on. I'll come on anytime. Nice thing to have.
Well, that's all going to change now under Lou Lamoriello.
That is for sure.
Yes, it will. Yep. That's a good point.
Well, you know what? I mean, you guys know Barry Trotz and Lane Lambert. They're both really good people. And, you know, I think that one thing about the Predators organization that you guys have tried to do is, and in many cases succeeded, is try to take care of players off the ice. I mean, you guys know all the stories about Jordan Tutu and Brian McGrattan and David Poile was, and, you know, Connor Ingram this year. David Poile's a big part of that. Brian Poile's a big part of that. Barry Trotz was a big part of that. Lane Lambert, too. And after Trotz and Lambert left, the organization stayed that way. You know, if you're phony, you can't hide. You know, people, the right people always know, right, guys? So those guys aren't phonies.
He also said that there was no succession plan for him whenever he's no longer the general manager. And really, it was more about, is the succession plan include your son, Brian? And I know we've asked you about Brian in the past, but let me ask the question this way, Elliot. Have you heard, like, he can say there's no succession plan currently in place, but, I mean, you have to always have a plan, you know, have a plan B. Whether he's ready to make that public or not, but do you believe that there is privately, you know, a succession plan for David Poile when he decides to walk away?
I do. I do believe there's something. I just don't know. Like, to be honest, I don't know if it's a full formal succession plan, like this is what we're going to do, or there is like an idea of if we're going to do something right now, it's going to be this. Like, I think you guys are right. There's no way there hasn't been discussion about it. There's no way there isn't something there, whether it's formal or informal. One of the things I kind of wondered about was, and this is purely me spitballing, I don't want it turned into anything, was if Trotz came back, could he be the GM potentially down the road? And, you know, that's an if, and the first part of that has to happen first. So that's just me kind of thinking out loud. But the thing is, I think whether it's Brian Poile or it's Scott Nickel or it's other people in your organization, Jeff Kelty, I think you guys are kind of, I don't know if training is the right word, but I think there's people in there gaining experience. And part of the thing when it comes to David Poile is, I'm not convinced he wants to step down. When you ask other people about David Poile, is he still engaged? He's very much engaged. At GM meetings, he has things to say. He's constantly on the phone, gauging what's going on around the league. Some people, they get older and they lose the fire. I don't think he's lost the fire. So I think one of the things is, I think he still wants to do the job. You know, the other thing is, I think while there's people in the Predators organization gaining experience who will be executives, higher executives someday, I don't know, and I'm only saying this because I haven't heard a name that everyone says, that's the next person in Nashville. Like, when the time comes, that's definitely who it's going to be. So in some ways, they could still potentially be looking for the person or hoping that the right person gains some more experience when it's time. So the long-winded answer to your question is I think there's something, but I don't think it's a certainty.
You know, it was interesting, Darren, let me follow up on that. A question that Chase asked during the press conference was, would you be open in the meantime to bringing somebody in from the outside? As you mentioned, there's Brian, who's been, you know, groomed and worked up the ranks over a long period of time here. There's Jeff Kelty, who was a player in the very, very first Predators training camp, who concussions sidelined his career, and he's turned into an excellent evaluator. There's Scott Nickel, who I'd also say is sort of in the family. He was sort of asked, is it time to look at somebody from the outside to add to the team somewhere? And he seemed very open about that. How has that worked in other places, Elliot?
First of all, it sounds like Chase decided to be a real problem.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, it was a good question. It's a good question.
No, I'm kidding. I'm no doubt it was a great question. I'm just laughing about it. You know, the thing is, I always think...
Well, he's got to do something, Elliot. If he's going to take 4 hours off the show, I mean, he's got to do something.
He's got to be asking questions.
Besides be the program director.
You've got to make it known that he's not just down there eating sandwiches and stuff like that.
Right.
That's true. It's very important. Yeah. I never think that's bad. Like, I always worry about, like for example, in my own life, like, one of the things I do now is, like I don't know anything about TikTok, and I'm not a YouTuber, but I go and find, like, people who are successful, and I just go look at them and see what they're doing, and I read about that industry, right? Like, it's just always good to look at new ideas and try new things, because there's always things you're going to say, like, holy smokes, like, I wish I would have thought of that sooner. Or as I tell people, if I hear a good idea, I'm going to steal that idea. And I think it's such a good thing to go out and find people that don't have the same experience. Like, one of your rivals is San Jose, and one of the things they're doing right now is they're saying, you know, we've had kind of the same people in charge for a long time. They were very, very successful. But now that it's kind of hit, you know, a few years out of the playoffs, they want to broaden their horizons. That's what a lot of this search is about. Let's see what we're missing out there. Let's find some new ideas. And I think that's very smart. And even if it's someone, in theory, you know, like Trotz has now been in Washington. He's seen the way that group does business, which is a long time since David Poile was there. And he's been in New York. And he's got the oldest of old school GMs, but he's got an ownership there that's pretty new and just opened up a new building. Like, even if it's someone you're familiar with, he's been out of the organization for a long time. So I think that kind of thing is really smart. I do.
Read the tea leaves with us and tell us what you think when asked about the Forsberg situation. He said, you know, both sides still mutually want to get this done and, you know, call it a day. But he then, in the same breath, also says, but we are prepared for plans B, C, and D. What do you make of that?
I think that what I make of that is, if this was a simple deal to do, it would be done already.
Hmm. You, like, think anything's changed since we last talked?
Hard to say, because I heard, and I'll say this secondhand. I heard it secondhand. I heard it secondhand that I think some people weren't thrilled that I found out they met that week in Nashville, so they're really trying to lock it down, which I get. I understand. You don't necessarily want this kind of thing in the public right now, although, I mean, us nosy reporters are going to try our best. I just think that the number has been higher than the Predators are comfortable with. And to this point in time, that has not changed. And I mean, it's one of those things, like, I could always be embarrassed because I could hang up the phone and the Predators could announce a deal. But the last I'd heard is that just the number was higher than the Predators wanted to go. And we'll see where that goes. You know, I think there's still time, obviously. I wouldn't want to handicap it one way or the other. But you've got two long-time good poker players in David Poile and J.P. Barry, who represents Forsberg, and right now they're playing poker.
Elliot Friedman's with us. So, Elliot, we keep coming back to the same thing. It won't be the first time we throw these numbers out there when you say the number's high. So are we talking, like, 8 times 9, if the number is 9, is $72 million. 8 times 8 is 64. Another team could offer 9, but only for 7 years, that's 63. So it seems like that's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Don't you think that's probably where we're talking, trying to figure out the eighth year versus the 7 year? If your number per year starts with a 9, the Predators don't have to go to 9 to meet that.
I just hesitate to guess at this time of year. I think it's so – I just try to be really careful. Look, I think they want him there. I think at the end of the day, his choice is to be there. You know, we've talked about this several times, that I just think that, you know, Forsberg had a big year at a time where a lot of people need scoring. And I don't know. I want to believe at the end of the day it gets done. I do. I'm just a little bit surprised we are where we are, because it's, you know, it's a bit later than I thought it was going to be. I'll just say that last year, the Landeskog thing in Colorado got really close and it got really intense, but all the Avalanche players were convinced he was going to eventually re-sign and the team was going to find a way. So I think a lot about Forsberg when I think about Landeskog, and I'm hopeful the same thing will happen.
Leave us with this, because it was interesting how he basically advanced his press coverage, which was 45 minutes long. He did most of the talking. John Hines did some, but the feeling there was all with plan A, that they would have Forsberg in there. So it was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't hedge too much when they looked ahead. But one thing that they did say pretty specifically, we need more punch on our second line. If you had to guess, there's still a lot to be sorted out, I'm sure, Elliot. But as you look on the horizon, how easy or tough would that be with a little bit of, with some cap space that they, I think, will have available, some flexibility to address the second line?
Well, the one thing I say about Poile is that he's creative. Like that's the thing I never worry about with him, is that I think he's not afraid, and he is creative. And I think there are going to be opportunities right now, because cap room is so scarce, that if you have some, like they will, you're going to be able to do some things. The other thing, too, is I believe Nashville is one of the teams that has shown some interest in a player who's coming over from Russia named Andrei Kuzmenko. And I don't know that I would say they're a favorite, but they're in the mix. And he's a guy that's got a lot of teams chasing after him. And sometimes when these players come from overseas, it's hard. Like there's a guy who comes over older, like Panarin, and he's a super-duper star. And there's other guys who come over who, you know, have trouble, as some people do, you know, making the change to a different lifestyle and a different game. There are a lot of people who seem to be hopeful that this guy has a chance not to be Panarin, but to be a decent impact player, a solid impact player. And if it turns out that Nashville's the team, that might be one of the ways to help you. But like I said, I wouldn't want to handicap it right now.
Interesting. Good stuff as always, Elliot. We could have done an hour easy today. Really appreciate
it. Think about Elliot's prism right now that he's looking through. He gave us some really good insight on the Predators, but I think it pales in comparison to what's happening in Toronto and then the Battle of Alberta going on the ice. I think he's got a pretty full slate.
Well, we would have loved to have gotten to cover all that today, but we'll have to save it for next week. But thanks for doing it. We knew that the press conference was probably going to dominate today's discussion. So thanks for doing this as always.
Well, Chase went down and did everybody's work for them. So I hope everybody paid for his lunch. Yeah.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right, take care, guys.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. We'll continue the discussion on the other side, ESPN 102.